And let me pray, and using words from, indeed, that passage just before what was read today. He opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. Father, we ask this morning that you would do the miracle of, by your Spirit, opening our minds to understand, and more than that, to put into practice your holy word. For Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
Great. Thank you, Nigel. Thank you all for your welcome this morning and the chance to be with you again after a number of years. It's great to be here, and I look forward to visiting the other building once completed. A few years ago, as I indicated in an interview, I was a soldier, and as part of our training, we were engaged in all sorts of practice drills. One of them was to set up an ambush. This was in western Cyprus, on the Akamas Peninsula in western Cyprus, and I was part of a patrol who were going to set up an ambush in a remote valley. And we did that. It was all beautifully done in the middle of the night. And at the right time, the enemy, who in this case were the Royal Gurkha Rifles, were going to come through and spring our ambush. Indeed, at the right time, the ambush was sprung, not by the Royal Gurkha Rifles, but by a group of Greek Cypriot shepherds and their sheep who happened to come through our ambush. Meanwhile, the Royal Gurkha Rifles were passing unmolested in the neighbouring valley and failed to spring, and they were very happy to get to their place without being attacked. You see, we may have set up what was a brilliant ambush. The Greek Cypriots had no idea we were there, and nor did the sheep. But it wasn't a great success in that we didn't achieve our mission. And what we're going to be looking at this morning is, what is your mission as St. John's? What is the mission of a church? What actually should all Christians be about as we wait, as Nigel has read to us, as we wait for Jesus, who has now ascended and is at the right hand of God in heaven, wait for his return? What should we be doing? Well, I've taken a sneaky peek at your website, and there are some important clues there. You say these things. You are supporting Bible-based witness, teaching and evangelism, both nationally and globally. You're in gospel partnership, which seeks to share the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ with all people everywhere. And then in your strapline of Truth, Unity, Mission, you say that you seek to teach the whole counsel of God, to be united as a family around those truths, and to share the good news of Jesus within our community and beyond. So it does describe who you are and what you're about. Well, that's the fundamental question today in our passage, Luke 24. What is the mission of the church? What is St. John's mission? And if we look, therefore, at verses 44 to 49 of Luke 24, we get a flavour of the time between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension, which were in the last verses. And there are three main elements that are summaries of Jesus' teaching during those 40 days that took place after his resurrection. And much time is spent showing the dispirited apostles that, indeed, the Old Testament had told them many things that had now happened and that they shouldn't be surprised. The Old Testament had taught them that the Christ would suffer and die and would rise again. That's what he says in verse 46. And something that he had taught them as well before his death. That's what he says in verse 44. But I want us to focus on the third element. So the Christ must suffer and die. The Christ will rise again. But there is a third element to the teaching that Jesus gave his followers in those 40 days. Thus it is written, verse 47, that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, because in there Jesus lays out what is the mission of the church. What is it that he wants St. John's to be doing here in the 21st century? Let me draw out a number of points. And the first is this. St. John's mission is taught throughout the Bible. It's taught throughout the Bible. Look back at verse 46. It says, thus it is written, and then it goes on to the 47, and repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. Thus it is written. For many Christians, the church's mission, if they know of it at all, is recorded in the New Testament, in passages just like this Great Commission passage in Luke, or in John, or in Matthew, or in the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles. But here, Jesus is clearly teaching them that the Old Testament teaches mission as well. That all through the Bible, there is evidence that God is concerned from the beginning to the end, that God is concerned with all people everywhere. Yes, there is a huge focus on the people of Israel, the physical descendants of Abraham. But actually, that the only reason that God had chosen them was that they would be and bring a blessing to all the nations of the world. That's what Genesis chapter 12 tells us. In you, the children of Abraham, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And the Old Testament is littered with examples. Rahab the prostitute, Ruth the Moabitess, Naaman the Syrian general, the Queen of Sheba. All of these are non-Jews who, because of the life of God in the Jewish people, were brought to an understanding of the one true God. And as the Old Testament progresses, the focus narrows down from the Jewish people to one person. The one person mentioned in our Old Testament passage from Isaiah 49, the servant of Isaiah. And in Isaiah 49, verse 6, the last verse that was read to us this morning, we get a kind of job description of that servant. It is too light a thing, says God, that you, the servant, should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Well, those are just a few examples showing God's great desire from beginning to end in our Bibles that people from all nations would receive that salvation. Salvation to the ends of the earth, which sums up God's mission. So it's like a stick of rock from beginning to end. Wherever you break it, you will find God's mission heartbeat, God's oozing concern for the nations of the world. So it's been taught throughout the Bible. And I hope that that is true here, that wherever you open the Bible, you will be sensing God's concern for all people everywhere. So if St. John's mission is taught throughout the Bible, what does that mission consist of? Secondly, St. John's mission is to proclaim the gospel. To proclaim the gospel. Verse 47 again in our passage from Luke, repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. Sadly, that's quite controversial these days in many churches and mission societies. Some would argue that the proclamation and preaching of is only a small part of what God wants the church to be doing, that we should also be working for the transformation of society and the saving of the environment. One mission society, which would almost certainly be known to you, said this in an email to me. Whilst preaching is appropriate in some places, we would probably argue that in mission it is becoming less useful as a tool, especially in Western Europe. So we can pack up and go home. Well, I'm not arguing that mission has nothing to do with those important things. Christians can and indeed must be involved in things like the defense of marriage, which is so much at the moment in the eye, or, as we're hearing now, in the care of those who are unable to care for themselves, and the question of the right or not right to die. So Christians can and must be involved in those. They must be involved in the stewardship of God's creation. We must care for the poor, the weak, the oppressed, the marginalized, and your supporters of the Barnabas Fund and Samaritan's Purse does things like that. But as John Stott said, God's mission is to proclaim the gospel, not to reform society. Another Anglican minister, a bishop by the name of Stephen Neal, said this: if everything is mission, including everything that is good, then nothing is mission. And in Crossings, we have people engaged in many different contexts, many different ministries, from rescuing women from the sex trade in Western China, to medical work in Uganda and Kenya, to teaching English in other parts of the world like Thailand or in other parts. But all the people engaged in these things must share the same core conviction that the verbal proclamation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is essential to mission. However attractive the lives are of God's servants, unless we point people consciously, verbally, to Jesus, they will never meet him, and that they will face then an eternity without him. If we fail to teach people the gospel, we may make people feel comfortable for a while, but they will continue on their way unknowingly to hell. It's as serious as that. In the words of Anne Atkins, the columnist, if we don't give people the gospel, we're condemning them to death. Sadly, for some, it isn't like that. Another mission society, an Anglican one, has said this: we are a Christian charity working in partnership with local churches, Anglican churches around the world. Together, we work with local communities to improve health, to put children in school, to tackle discrimination, to give a voice to women, to nurture leaders, and much more. Well, what is the much more if it doesn't include making the saving knowledge of Christ known to all? So when we think of what comprises the life of St. John's here in Knutsford, a key element must be the proclamation of the gospel. That's true of your mission partners, Wanyeki and Mary and Yirka and Kira. And it isn't natural, so you must, when they come, you must ask them, what are they doing? Because there'll be many other things that they will be tempted to do, but they will be tempted to ignore passing on the good news of Christ. And I hope they ask you that question as well. What are you doing? Because there are people here in Knutsford, as sure as eggs are eggs, that do not know the good news of Jesus Christ. So it's important for you. It's important for them, and it's important in schools, works, home, groups, etc. here to keep the proclamation of Jesus Christ central to all you do. That is why you are here, to proclaim, as Peter says, to declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So St. John's mission is taught throughout the Bible. It is to proclaim the gospel, and if that is the case, we need to understand what it is that we are to proclaim. So thirdly, the content of the gospel that St. John's is to proclaim in its mission. What should we be proclaiming? Verse 47, repentance and forgiveness of sins in his name. Three parts to the proclamation in that summary there. The forgiveness of sins. You see, we live in an age which doesn't think much of sin. It mocks it as people living in sin and that sort of thing. Those descriptions of things that once were thought to be bad but no longer, and now may even be considered desirable. Well, Isaiah, earlier on in his prophecy, says this: woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Sin is the rejection of God's rightful rule over each and every one of us. It is serious, it is endemic, and it is deadly, for the wages of sin is death. And therefore forgiveness of sins is our greatest need. Of course there are many needs around us, and that, because of our Christian discipleship, will elicit and should elicit our real compassion and involvement. But as John Piper, the American pastor and author, puts it, God cares about all suffering, and so should we if we are his followers, but especially eternal suffering. And we should reflect that concern as well. That was certainly my testimony. I wouldn't have called myself particularly a Christian, but I knew what to do. I knew the liturgies and all that sort of thing at school. But it was only when I was made to realize, as a fairly respectable young lad, that actually I stood as a sinner in the hands of a holy God, that I realized what my greatest need was that I had not felt before. So the forgiveness of sins, second element of this gospel that we proclaim, is that of repentance. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It is on condition of repentance. It's not automatic. And if we want God to forgive us our sins and to turn towards us, we must turn to him and turn away from our own way, our own sin. He's not just a wonderful rescuer, although he is that, but our rightful Lord and Master, and that should be effective in our life. I was recently in October in a conference, a big Anglican conference in Nairobi, and one of the speakers spoke of the malaise of the Western churches, and he pinpointed what he said, and what has been said before by people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He pointed to what is called cheap grace, talking about the love of God, the love of God, the love of God, undeserved love of God, but no repentance. And that it's not serious, it's shallow. And we depend on a loving God because he's a loving God, but we have no real understanding of our need to turn to him in repentance and faith. Well, notice how Peter puts both forgiveness and repentance at the heart of his first message in the sermon in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. Having explained that Jesus had to suffer and die and rise again, notice similar things that we've picked up in our passage as well in Luke 24. He tells his hearers, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Notice too, both in Peter's preaching and also in our passage, that repentance and forgiveness are, verse 47 of our passage, in his name. That underlines that it is only through Jesus that we may receive the benefits of his suffering and death. There is no other name, says Peter, under heaven, given among men by which we must be saved. Again, that's not a popular message, is it, today? We don't like to be told that we need to be forgiven. We don't like to be told that we must repent. And we don't like to be told that that forgiveness is only through Christ, excluding all other philosophies, religions, and ideologies. Jesus is the only and unique Savior, and we must come to him and to no one else. And that leads us to our next point, the scope of St. John's mission. What is the scope? Well, this passage in Luke 24 tells us that it is global. If the message is forgiveness of sins in his name and no other, then logically, the message is vital and valid for all people everywhere. So the scope of mission is global. Back to our 47, repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed, will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. We've already noted that the church's mission is taught throughout the Bible, and that God's desire was for his Isaiah servant was to be a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Well, Luke's second volume, the Acts of the Apostles, tells us how this spreads from Jerusalem to all Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, finishing in Acts 28 with Paul preaching the gospel in Rome. And Rome was only symbolic, of course, of the end of the earth in those days. St. John's is a fruit of God's mission in latter days, much further afield than Rome was in those days. And St. John's needs to be a church committed to God's mission, both here in Knutsford, primarily, because others won't be doing it here, but also sending out labourers into the worldwide harvest field. And are there others here, as I've mentioned when Nigel asked me, who should be thinking about going, short or long term, at great cost maybe, in order to make known the good news of Jesus to the ends of the earth? Well, I hope you're praying for that, if you're not actually considering going yourself, and that you will enable others to do so, as indeed you are with the Kraals and the Mahianis as well. But there is much more need out there than just met by those few people. And not least the continent of Europe, where Jirka and Kira serve in the lonely outpost, and I visited it in September last year, of Olomouc in eastern Czech. It is long, hard slog with very few visible results. But it has to be done, because otherwise we're not valuing the very gospel that has saved us. And there are many other parts, the Muslim world and so on. There are apps on your phones that can tell you of a different people group each day that have not received the gospel. There are all sorts of resources. And we need to have the attitude of Hudson Taylor, the founder of the China Inland Mission, who said, I cannot describe how I long to be a missionary, to carry glad tidings to poor perishing sinners. For this, he said, I would give up everything, every idol, however dear. Are we prepared to do that, to pay that price, so that people who do not know Jesus might have the opportunity to know him? Do we value Jesus enough to think that that might be necessary? Well, St. John's mission is taught throughout the Bible. It is the proclamation of the good news, which is of repentance and forgiveness in the name of Christ. Its scope is global. Finally, it is only realized in the power of God the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 49. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Mission is the mission of God the Father, carried out by the God the Son and enabled by God the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his band of apostles to wait in Jerusalem. And he said at the beginning of Acts chapter 1, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. They did wait, and in Acts chapter 2, 50 days after Jesus had raised from the dead, 10 days after he had gone to be at the right hand of God the Father, he was able to send out the promised Holy Spirit. And when Peter preached to the crowd that day about the significance of what had happened, he said this: repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Notice similarities with Luke 24 there. And then he says, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We do not need to wait for a special day. For all who repent and believe receive at conversion the promised Holy Spirit to enable us to be more like Jesus day by day and to make him known to the ends of the earth. So he's given us all that we need. But we need to be praying that God the Holy Spirit will do his work, because Yerka and Kira, or Wanyeki and Mary, may be the most brilliant workers. I hope that we have chosen and found you good people to work with, but they may be the greatest communicators in the world. But unless God the Holy Spirit opens blind eyes and deaf ears, they are working for nothing. So we started asking, what is St. John's mission? What should you be doing? Well, your mission is taught throughout the Bible, so look at it with mission spectacles. It involves the proclamation of the gospel of repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name and his alone. Are we able to explain that to people around? It is to all nations. Its scope is global. Not forgetting the Jews, of course. And are we praying that God will answer our prayers, that the extension of his kingdom might reach the ends of the earth? And it is in the power of the Holy Spirit. That is what the church should be about. It's what each one of us should be about as well. But maybe in most gatherings like ours this morning, there will be people who do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ, who have not repented or received forgiveness in his name. Can I suggest that you do something about that even today? Because one day he will return, that time to judge the earth, and he only delays because he desires in his patience that all people should have the opportunity to turn in repentance, and that none should perish. Are we ready to face a judge, the judge, Lord Jesus, on that day? Let's pray. Father, help us in our different circumstances this morning to respond to your word as we should. Maybe for the first time to come and repent and receive the forgiveness of sins in Christ alone. Or maybe to be more clear as to the importance of that good news, not just for ourselves, but for those around us, and indeed in places where your name is not known. Pray that St. John's will be obedient to your vision for your mission. In Jesus' name, amen.